College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. We will take your call shortly at 800-636-1067.
Yep.
Everybody wants to react to the Wizards getting unlucky at the draft lottery last night.
Unlucky or, you know, they were 86% not to get Cooper.
Yeah. I
mean, they were 86% not to.
So I understand that.
Extremely highly likely.
I'm over them not getting the number one pick. That's fine. I knew that the odds of that were slim. But to fall all the way down to the lowest point where they could fall, that's what upsets me the most.
Now, look,
a borderline playoff team can hop 10 spots with a less than 2% chance of getting the spot, grab it, and keep the Wizards on the hamster wheel for an extra year.
Now, look, whoever they get at number six could be a better player overall than whoever is drafted three or four.
Maybe.
We just don't know.
Just doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't happen often.
I just want the opportunity to have that number two.
But you just never know.
Or just give me the three pick. Give me the four pick.
But let's just say this. And you can help me with this. I understand that, listen, more often than not, we're in the lottery, like, because we don't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're there a lot. But, you know, while we've been doing the show, they've had at least two number one picks with the Kwame and with John Wall.
Correct.
So it's not like the league has, you know, if they were involved, they had some sort of like aversion to DC. No, we've actually gotten two number one overall picks. It's happened.
And what were the percentages of the Wizards last year of getting the number one pick? Was it same 14%? I can't remember what their record was.
I'd have to look it up.
All right, so and they only fell to number two.
All right, back to some of these calls.
They got Sar too.
Look, they were hoping they'd get the number one pick, which would speed up the development of this team. Now you just really need Sar to take it up a notch and get to the next level. Cakes' guy Bilal, who I've lost some faith in. He's got to really step up.
Like,
if Bilal in year three is not averaging 20 points per game, and I don't think he's going to do it, to me, it's a waste.
Well, 20 points is, I mean, what did he average this past year?
11 or 12?
He's going to make an 8-point jump in year three?
Well, no. My point is, he should, when you have somebody draft that high, be at that level by year three. And if you're not that type of player, it's not good enough.
About 18 points.
Sar needs to be the guy that averages 20 in year three.
That'd be nice. All right, Bilal averaged 12.3 points per game.
Maybe that goes up a bucket or two.
Let's go to Kevin in Lanham. Kevin, what's up? Drawing with the Junkies.
Let's go. Hey, what's going on, fellas, man? Y'all need to change this segment to Tilted Tuesday.
Yeah, you probably
should play Titanic. Some people have suggested
that. We could do
Capitals,
that.
Capitals, Nationals, good.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? Is more people calling in. It speaks to your poll. More people are calling in livid about this than the Caps.
The Caps is resignation. The Wizards' anger.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Wizards' anger. This is a joke. The lottery is a damn joke. You're telling me the three worst teams got 4, 5, and 6, and a team that went to the finals last year and almost made the playoffs got the number one pick. It's a media thing. The ratings are down. You need Dallas Spurs and 76ers is a bigger market than Hornets, Jazz, and Wizards. It's a joke. They should go back to how you have the worst record.
But hold on. Look, I like a conspiracy theory more than the next guy. There's no way San Antonio rivals DC as a market.
Well, no, but think about this. San Antonio, listen, Wemby grew up a Spurs fan, Tony Parker. All of a sudden, hey, the Spurs got the number one pick. Hey, Luka Doncic leaves Dallas. Hey, Dallas gets the number one pick. They did the same thing with LeBron. When LeBron left Cleveland, hey, Cleveland gets the number one pick, gets Kyrie Irving. It's a fix. That thing is rigged, man. Come on now.
I appreciate the call.
Look, a lot of people feel that way. They do. We have no idea how they do these numbers and how they pick and how they draw, but a lot of people feel that way.
Let's go to Matt in Fairfax. Matt, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
How you guys doing, man? Thanks for bringing me into work every morning.
Sure. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Look, someone really good is going to be available. Probably a perennial all-star will be available, but we won't find him. Good teams find that guy. Like, for instance, we picked Jan Vesely at six because, ooh, he could run the floor. Oh, yay. And then a really good organization, the Spurs, you know, nine picks later, picked Kawhi Leonard, who brought two different teams championships. So we've done it before. We'll do it again. We'll miss on Karl Malone. We'll miss on Draymond Green.
I have more faith in this brain trust than the guys.
They did pretty good last year.
Guys were picking Vesely.
Don't you like what they did last year?
Well, yeah, but we had a better pick, right? I mean,
Bob and the other guys, even Bob and George.
You know what? I'm not good enough to speak to that, honestly. But I will agree with the previous caller in this regard. The lottery is ridiculous. The NFL does it right. The NBA blows it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
But I would agree with Cakes that, you know, when you're talking about the history of drafting at six with the Jan Vesleys of the world, this is a totally different group.
Right.
And I do trust this group more than I trusted that group to make a good pick. But he's right. I mean, there's going to be a really good player drafted, you know, somewhere in the top 10, beyond Cooper Flagg.
Hopefully it's at number six.
Beyond Cooper Flagg. There'll be a really good player drafted, and you just got to hit on him.
The Wizards took Jan Vesely. He mentioned Kawhi Leonard, who went number 15. Mm-hmm. But Klay Thompson was drafted number 11.
Yeah. Mm.
Then some good players like Nikola Vucevic, who's been a good center in the league. He's not an all-star, but good player, drafted later. Tobias Harris was drafted later.
Mm-hmm. Look, but all teams miss. Like, Jimmy Butler was picked 30th in that draft.
Yep.
I mean, every team would love to have Jimmy Butler.
Of course.
And 29 teams passed on him.
Butler went in the same draft that Kawhi Leonard went in?
Yes.
Wow. And they both went so late.
He was the last pick of the first round.
Yep.
Wow, amazing. All right, let's go to Mike in Winchester. Hey, Mike, you're on with the Junkies. Thanks, man.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Hey, doing great.
Hey, man, I'm a long-time listener, about 20 years now, man. Love
you.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, solid, man. What I was going to add to this conversation is I was watching a podcast about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was kind of, you know, in the basketball lottery leading up, so they were kind of bouncing around. But it was either Shaq in the podcast or they brought up a video of Shaq talking about his draft experience. And he said David Stern asked him if he wanted to play for a cold weather team or a warm weather team before the lottery. So he was alluding to the lottery being rigged and said it with a smile. I'm sure you guys have the resources to look this up, but I've heard several players talking about this, and somebody as big as Shaq saying something like that on a podcast. I'm pretty sure this is common knowledge now that this is a joke. I mean,
well, I would like to hear that.
With this.
I would like to hear that. Do you remember what podcast it was?
Nah, it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it's been recent. Like I said, it was leading up to the draft stuff. So I mean,
all right, Mark, can you get on it? Can you see if you can find that, please?
Probably Google that. Yeah.
I just don't buy into these conspiracy theories. Did they hook Atlanta last year with the number one pick?
Well, Atlanta had a 3% chance, and somehow they wound up with the number one pick.
Yeah,
if they were, wouldn't they be a little smarter about it though, than stop giving the ones with the 1% and 2% and 3% chances?
My point is, they're not giving the Knicks the number one pick every year. I know the Knicks weren't eligible for it.
Yeah,
but if they were going to hook teams, they would start with New York and L.A.
Well, I know, but they don't. They don't have out. If L.A. was in the lottery, they might have gotten it. We have no idea.
Let's go to Randall.
Come on,
Randall. So you seem to be leaning towards rigged. You're so skeptical. You seem to be leaning towards rigged.
I don't know if it's rigged. It's just questionable. When a team has such a low percentage chance of landing it and it gets it, and it's happened multiple times, it's just questionable. That's all I'd say.
I don't lean more towards conspiracy, but I hate a system that rewards a team that was, like a caller mentioned, was in the finals 2 years ago and made the play-in this past year. They should not have an opportunity to take the number one player on the board.
Maybe. So how many teams don't make the playoffs? How many teams?
10.
10? 11? How many 10 total. Teams
well,
are there?
If you consider the play-in playoffs, 10 teams don't make it.
How many were eligible for this lottery? 13 all had balls and everything in there?
Yeah.
So maybe it should be. Maybe it should be the bottom seven. You just go in order, and then a top six, some sort of weighted lottery. Like, you know what I mean? Because you're inviting way too much chance by having 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 teams eligible for a bowl to friggin' pop
up. I think the worst four...
Shorten it.
I think the worst four records, those teams, should all be 1 through 4 at some point. So those four have a chance at the number one
pick.
You
know what makes for better
TV? But you can't fall out of the top four.
Mm-hmm. Here's what makes for better TV. You get the world's largest hopper. Okay, and you put the ping pong balls in there with the stupid logos on them. No more of this. It's a four-number system where the four numbers line up and whatever pick corresponds with that, that's where you pick. No, no. I want that guy grabbing in, saying number 14. He reaches in, grabs a ball, and it's got the logo. Mm-hmm. I want them to return to that system.
Well, the problem is, then you get, you know, then you got to take that team's, you know, 13 balls out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the problem.
I don't care. Let those team counters deal with that.
Yeah, but how are they going to do it from a practicality standpoint?
I don't know. And I don't care about the practicality of it.
Yeah.
All right. Next call.
Did you see the reaction from Nico Harrison and the front office?
I saw Rolando Blackman.
It's like he hit the lottery.
He hit the lottery.
Rolando Blackman was there representing the team, but Nico Harrison, I don't know if they were in a hotel room,
they look like
their
conference room
office,
like a
wherever
room.
They were, they're at a table and they go nuts. I put it up on our Instagram. Follow us at Sports Junkies Radio. If you haven't seen it, look at our Instagram story. They go berserk. Meanwhile, Will Dawkins has got to deal with the thud. I saw him getting interviewed afterwards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's
always in a chipper mood. Was he fine?
Yeah, he was fine.
Did he
fine,
look a little despondent?
What's he going to do?
He's a measured guy. He's smart.
All right, Valdez, I think Mar and Valdez and those guys found the Shaq comments.
Just tell us, like, some of the stories of the opportunity you got the chance to shake his hand to come into this league and to get to know him over your career of how good a person he was.
I meet him before the draft. He says, even before the lottery, he said, you want to play where it's hot or where it's cold? And I said, hot. Then Orlando gets the ball. I don't think none of it.
Then I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah,
everybody.
I am too. So then I'm in.
I love that you just said
I'm at the draft, and he's coming up with the envelope, and he's looking at the envelope, and he goes,
That was a wink. If the cameras did not see it, that was a strong wink.
So right then, I didn't know, but I know I was 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
But I didn't know, so like he got the envelope. And you know, it was real quick. He was like, and we're the first, and then he called me. So.
Wow.
And then Orlando got the number one pick again.
Yeah.
Remember?
I do.
No.
Yeah, they drafted Weber, but then traded him for Penny Hardaway.
That's right. Mm-hmm. By the way, the Shaq draft, Shaq went 1, Alonzo went 2.
Different era.
Our man Googs went 6.
He was a beast.
Googs
was a beast.
Overall.
Oh, you'd kill for a Googs quality player.
I love him at 6.
At 6 at this point.
Who was 7?
7. Our guy, soft spot, the wizard, Walt Williams.
Walt had a great career.
Had a really good career.
Yeah. All right, let's go to, we already do Randall. I think we did, right?
Randall from yesterday?
No, it's a different. Maybe it's. Did I do him? I can't remember. Randall, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Chunks.
Hey guys.
Hey.
No, you did not do me yet.
Sorry.
Love the show.
Thanks, man.
I'm not going to get into like the whole conspiracy. I don't know if it is. I just think the lottery itself is stupid.
Yeah.
Conspiracy or not, it's dumb. I agree with Lurch. Probably should do like 4 teams, but as a whole, this is just like a little different. As a whole. The Wizards, they have got to be one of the most irrelevant franchises in sports. I mean, I don't think, because nationally, I don't think they get any sort of love. Like, we talk about Koulibaly. Are they even on anybody's radar?
No, they're not. I watch NBA TV. Generally speaking, they're one of the last games that they play, and they play highlights for an hour of every game.
Yeah. Right.
And the Wizards might get like the last 30 seconds.
Like,
unless they're playing another really good team.
But to be fair, Randall, I mean, the Skins / Commanders weren't either until they got that player.
Right.
So if the Wizards go ahead.
That is the NFL, though. You know what I mean? To me, that's the NFL. Like, they're just bigger than the NBA. But I see what you're saying, Lurch. It's just, to me, there's this zero. It's a huge nothing burger. You know, they are a huge nothing burger. Put to you this way real quick. This last season, I went to a Caps game. Great. Went to a DC United game. Awesome. My girlfriend asked me, hey, how about we go to a basketball game, the Wizards? I was like, Sure, I guess. I mean, I'll go. Right. But I'm going to spend more money on parking and food. The tickets are like $8, so it doesn't matter.
I'm just going to counter you with this. That
go to the Hennessy Loft seats.
I think the frustrating thing for Wizards fans is there's a larger base of basketball fans that would embrace a winning team. You saw it during the height of the John Wall era. Mm-hmm. When they almost made it, you have to say, almost made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
Okay.
Didn't even
the excitement in town was huge. And I felt like this year, people understood what was happening, that they were tanking. And so they kind of embraced the team, the players developing. But now that it's going to take another year at least, I think there's a lot of resignation and people are pissed off.
JP, you're right.
Clearly are.
You're right, JP. Yep. But boy, does that feel like a long time ago.
All right.
Y'all have a good day.
All right, thanks brother. For the call. We'll continue to take your calls at 800-636-1067. People are upset at the Wizards falling out of the top four. They'll pick at 6 in the 2025 NBA draft. 800-636-1067. What did you think of the results? What was your reaction? We'll take it next here.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan. Before this hour is up, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Metallica M72 tour when it comes to Northwest Stadium at the end of May. So keep listening for your chance to win those tickets. But we're continuing to take your calls at 800-636-1067. Lots of vitriol and venom and tinfoil hat talk about what happened in Chicago last night as the NBA draft lottery unfolded. The Wizards had a 52.1% chance of landing a top four pick. They get the worst possible outcome. They will now pick 6th in the upcoming NBA draft in June.
It stinks. Yesterday, we just did amongst the junkies a poll of what would you rather have? The Wizards win the draft lottery.
Yep.
Meaning they would most likely draft Cooper Flagg, or the Caps win their series against Carolina, which just propels them into the Eastern Conference Finals. They could then lose. And we all took, well, actually, 3 out of 4 of us took the Wizards because we felt like that's long term.
Yeah.
And at my core, I'm more of a basketball guy.
Well,
I think I root for the Caps, but let me tell you this. If the Caps get eliminated on Thursday, I'd be hard pressed to watch five total minutes of the rest of the NHL playoffs.
I won't watch a second of it. I won't watch a second.
Junks listeners who come at me with, "You're a terrible Caps fan because you took the cap. You didn't take the Caps."
Were you getting attacked?
Please miss me. Not a lot, but there was a little bit of that rumbling. Please miss me with that. Okay, it's okay to root for both teams. I know it's a weird concept for some of you people with an earshot. You can root for more than one team in the market.
Well, Caps fans are particularly sensitive.
Novel concept.
They're particularly sensitive.
It's doable.
But I think also what this shows, like what our phone line's like literally lighting up about frustration with this draft. And by the way, I think Valdez is going to queue up some comments LeBron had on Pat McAfee's show recently with his sort of speculation about the legitimacy of the lottery.
Right.
But what I think this shows is we've always known and everybody's known historically, you know, if you're a longtime DC person, this is a basketball town, and it's like a sleeping giant basketball.
Yeah, it's just waiting to be awoken somehow.
Yeah. It's like it's been dead.
Right.
Basketball in this town's been largely dead for, 15, 20 years? You got a little brief moment of it there when Maryland got in the Sweet 16, and then Kevin Willard ruined it all.
Yeah, he did ruin everything.
He ruined everything.
I hate that
But
guy.
With the Wizards, when you had John Wall jumping on the table,
yeah,
this town was on fire.
Well, back when Gary was here with Maryland,
of course,
big time. When Georgetown had their moments, big time. It's just, I don't know, man. It is at its core a basketball town, and people are locked in on it, and they're just so frustrated. All right, play LeBron's comments on McAfee's show earlier.
By the way, LeBron tweeted last night, I'm not great at the smiley face emojis interpretation, but I think it was the laughing with tears.
Yeah, yeah. The Dallas gets it.
Yes.
Listen, man, during the ball drop, you know, during the lottery drop, Cleveland got the number one pick. That's the, I just don't think that was.
Yeah.
Just,
whoa, what are you? What are you saying? Don't you see?
Wemby with the Spurs.
Oh,
yeah, that like,
oh my God. Let's keep LeBron home. You know what? Patrick Ewing to the Knicks. You know, Derrick Rose to the Bulls. But I understand the assignment, guys. I'm, you know, so, you know, it's, I had to make sure that, you know, I had to do my part.
Mm. I don't know. When they have these, like, Ernst & Young or whatever supposed to represent them, is there a way that behind the scenes they can have some sort of written agreement that, you know, we're just paying you to be a, like, you know?
Sure.
Is there a way they could do that?
Buy them off
and so that it's a prop.
It's a prop.
But so we're paying you $1 million to go out there and say that you're vetting it, but the truth is we're a private company and this is what we want to do.
We'll do what we want.
Yeah. Is that even legal? I don't even know. I'm just throwing it out there. I have no idea. And would it be enough money for a company like Ernst & Young to, or whoever? I don't even know. Who was it?
Price Waterhouse,
whoever it is.
They named the company last night. Well, my brain froze over.
Well, the representative from Ernst & Young was out there. Remember, he gave the
So it
was
Ernst & Young. He had a stack of envelopes.
So it was Ernst & Young.
But there was another company, too, that was
I don't think it's Ernest. It's Ernst.
I don't know the difference. Ernest.
Well, the difference is Jim Varney, there's not an extra E.
Yeah. I don't know the difference.
All right, let's take a couple more calls.
All right. Let's go. Let me see here. Let's go to Jason in Woodbridge, 800-636-1067. Clearly, more frustration with the lottery than the sort of the resignation of what's going on with the Caps. Let me see. Jason, hey, buddy. You're on with the Junks.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep. Sure.
If they don't want to have the you know, people thinking it's rigged, why don't they just do it live?
I mean, supposedly, it's really the way they have it set up now, it's really not TV friendly. They got to yank out $1 million balls.
Don't care. Transparency's.
You can only.
I'm with you. Yeah. Don't care.
Three. I mean, you're pulling out three balls. I mean, come on. It takes 5 minutes.
But they don't care. See, their view is, I understand Wizards fans are frustrated, but their view is, you can argue about transparency. They're trying to put on a good television show. And they believe that this is their best television show.
They're showing it.
They're not showing it the way that you like
it. Better.
They believe that the way that they're presenting the television show is better for the viewers. And also, a team like, if you're on the other side of it, a team like Dallas has a sweat.
Yeah.
Whereas if you went with Jason's method, only four teams would be involved having a chance at the lottery. In this way, in this fashion, 14 different fan bases essentially have a chance to win the big prize.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're shooting for.
I think maybe, how about six?
This is the fourth straight year where a low percentage team wins the number one pick.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because 4 years ago, it was, Orlando. And they got Banchero. They had 17 more wins than Detroit that year. Yep. 17. Mm-hmm. San Antonio wins. They get Victor. They had the fifth worst record, not one of the worst three. Last year, we kind of talked about it. Atlanta, they had 36 wins. 36 wins last year. Borderline play-in. And they get the number one pick, and then obviously Dallas.
Here's why I don't buy LeBron's conspiracy theory. Although his draft maybe makes sense, LeBron to Cleveland. All right, Derrick Rose, supposedly from Chicago. He wasn't, if I recall, wasn't a consensus number one pick. Derrick Rose ended up going number one. Beasley went two. O.J. Mayo went three. Russell Westbrook four. Like, those are all studs at the time. I know O.J. Mayo and Michael Beasley didn't turn into all-stars in the NBA, but I don't buy it.
All right, let's go to Jay in D.C. Jay, I don't know. I think a lot of conspiracies are true. I don't know what I think about this one.
I may have to boycott the lottery going forward. I just can't participate.
Think of how much time do you spend on Tankathon?
So much time wasted. So many Sims run of the lottery.
But the JP to JP's point in that draft, I think Derrick Rose was the can't misser out of Memphis Beasley was just a kind of a washout at K-State. Russell Westbrook really wasn't talked about as a prospect that much that year in UCLA. Like, I think Derrick Rose was the...
Okay, like, maybe he was. I
mean, you're comparing their NBA careers, which...
Derrick Rose won the MVP once.
I know, but I'm just saying. Coming out of college, of them was different than their NBA careers.
Well, but also you got to remember, college basketball was so much different back then. The players were better players. The majority of this first round, whenever the draft is in June, will be all freshmen or international players.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The majority of those players back in 15, 20 years ago, they were much better players because they played 2, 3. Sometimes 4 years of college. They were just more prepared for it.
All right. Jay, DC, what's up, buddy?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing? Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Yep.
I can see why everybody's upset this morning, because when you have a generational player, as they say Cooper Flagg is, coming out the draft, and you're suffering the whole season watching your team take L after L. But in the end, you're like, okay, when the draft comes, we have a real chance of getting this top pick. Now, I didn't get my hopes up, because last year, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Wizards got 3 first-round picks. I don't think they was all top 10, but they got 3 first-round picks. Now, I'm thinking that the draft is kind of rigged, that somebody's doing something behind the scenes, because the being as though that the Mavericks, they got new ownership. They just lost a superstar. And like you said, Texas, that's a big market. So I can see them giving Dallas the first overall pick. Now, if Luka was still there, do you guys still think that they would have got the first-round pick? And another thing is, how does the Spurs get the second pick when they just picked Wembanyama the year before last, which everybody considered him a generational player? So, I mean, I think they got a lot of work to do with that draft, man. But like I said, I never got my hopes up because of the draft that the Wizards had last year, so I'm really not that upset. But, everybody just keep your hopes up. I think we're going to get a good player, number 6. Thanks, Alan.
All right. Thank you, buddy. I hope you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Good player, but is it going to be a franchise-changing type of player?
Doesn't it kind of seem like it was just a waste, like the whole year?
Yes.
Of enduring all of that? It wasn't.
Other than the guys that developed.
Yeah, Bub really blossomed. George really came along. Sar really came along. So in that
Sar
sense,
had a really
good
rookie year.
It was really good. And, I'd say Bilal improved some, right? His contribution.
You're asking the wrong. I can't be objective when it comes to Bilal. That's my guy. I discovered him. Yeah. We all know this. Yeah. I planted the flag there.
But
I'm the Wizards' lead scout in France.
But in terms of adding a significant piece, seems like a waste.
I'm looking at the last several number one picks overall. Anthony Edwards. Probably going to be in the Western Conference Finals for the second year in a row. Now, they lost to Dallas last year. The playoffs, people talk about conspiracies. The Knicks have a chance to go, and I don't think it's a conspiracy. They had a chance to go all the way. But the rest of the teams, kind of surprising who are going to be. I mean, Indiana, does the NBA want Indiana to potentially make it to the NBA Finals?
No.
Does the NBA want, maybe OKC you're buying into, but not really. They probably would have preferred.
OKC, Indiana, can you imagine the ratings on that?
In the toilet, straight in the tank.
Now, OKC's in a 2-2 series, and then you got Minnesota, they're up 3-1.
Yeah. You're right, you don't have this.
I don't know, but Cade Cunningham
besides New York.
And Anthony Edwards were drafted in 2020 and 2021. They have helped turn around those teams. Now, Zion Williamson, the year before, he was a Cooper Flagg type of player, and he hasn't done anything. A lot of it's because of injuries.
Yeah, he's been off the injured.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Clinton. Kevin, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Man, good morning, y'all. Man, first of all, man, y'all can fry a carton of eggs on my head, man.
You're that hot?
Like say, yeah, man. We got bone with no grease, man. And just like a lot of callers said, man, and I knew it was coming, man. How you make the playoffs and you got a 1% chance and you replace Luka with Cooper Flagg, man. It's not fair, man, at all, man. Right. It's not fair. They need to do something about that lottery, man. I'm telling everybody out there, I want y'all to do the same thing. Boycott all NBA games. Don't watch them. Don't bet on them next year, man. They not getting a single dime from me, man, because it's rigged, man. The lottery is rigged, rigged, rigged. And I just want to say, like one caller said, why they don't show everything, man? And I just like to say thank y'all for taking my call, and I love y'all, man. I'm just so hot, man, and disgusted, man. You just don't know, man. Yeah, and I love y'all.
A lot of people like you.
Yeah. Love you too, buddy. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it, man.
People want transparency. They want who cares if it's bad TV? I don't care if it takes 3 hours. Now I'm like, I'll watch all 3 hours. I just want to see the result. But whatever they're doing now has people thinking that it's rigged, and they have people thinking that there are conspiracy theories floating around. It's not a great system.
Yeah, but
it's great for Dallas and San Antonio. Not great for the have-nots like the Charlotte Hornets, Utah, the Wiz, the Pelicans.
People have thought it's a conspiracy since 1985.
I know.
With the frozen envelope and Patrick Ewing.
Yep.
And yet, they don't care. They're just trying to put on a good TV show.
Right.
All right, let's go to Lydell, D.C. Is it Lydell? Lydell, what's up, buddy?
S-L-Y. Hey, what's going on, brothers? How y'all doing this morning?
Great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I really can't go with a conspiracy theory, but I mean, I feel like that when it came down to what Shaq said, when LeBron said, and just hearing that, my thoughts kind of changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But also, man, just like when I was laying there looking at the game yesterday, or sitting there looking at the game with the Caps, when I was watching the Caps, and then watching the Nats thumbing through, and then I see we get the sixth pick, man. I turned the TV off. I went to sleep, man. I felt like, man, that's why it's raining today, brother, because I had a sixth pick, man. That made me sick to the stomach, man.
Yeah.
And I really do think, man, there's some, you know, it's just really to alleviate the conspiracy theory. Just show it, man. You know, I mean, you're only going to put so many balls inside the daggone popper anyway. So, you know, it used to be where they showed it come up, and everybody was good with it, man. But to get the sixth pick, man, that was like, and it's 82 games we had to sit through, man. 82 games of excruciating play, man. To think we was going to get Cooper Flagg or anything other such, man. And for Dallas or San Antonio, man, I think San Antonio agrees in palms because they always up in the top somewhere.
You just got to pick the right guy. Like, if you go back to when Kwame Brown was drafted, number one.
No.
Paul Gasol was drafted number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Johnson was drafted number 10. Zach Randolph, 19. Tony Parker, 28.
Well, hopefully we get the right guy. You know, I'm hoping that they do enough talent. I mean, do a talent search and they find a diamond in the rough. But I tell you what, Cooper Flagg sure would have been a good pick to go to the games. And we get all hyped up behind that, man, with this city growing like it is.
So, right.
I just think with a dark cloud over that, man, today. Today, man, that's why it's raining, man. Thanks for taking
all right, thanks. Thank you.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Gilbert Arenas, 31 in that draft.
I mean, you can always find, but you got to really be on it.
Yeah.
Well, they are. I mean, that's all they do is
I know. They have
scout.
Great people. They have great people, but
they also have acquired a bunch of picks. So they're going to keep trying to make trades.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
All right, coming up before the end of the hour, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Metallica when they come to Northwest Stadium in late May. So keep listening for your chance.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the win. We're going to set up caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067 with two tickets to Metallica M72 Tour. With special guests Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies, Wednesday, May 28th is the date of the show at Northwest Stadium. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067. You'll go see James Hetfield and the boys in just about 2 weeks. So call now to win. All right, some big news yesterday announced by the NBA on NBC and Peacock that they're adding a pretty big name to be a special contributor to the NBA on their networks and their streaming platforms.
I mean, it's kind of a big
name. You ever hear Michael Jordan? You ever hear that name? He's being added as a special contributor. Here's what Stephen A. Smith from ESPN had to say about that addition and what he will bring to NBA on NBC.
I just want to know, is it going to be the Michael Jordan, you know, that you see on television? Or is it going to be the Michael Jordan we speak to? Because it's the Michael Jordan we speak to. Oh, it's going to be epic. It's going to be epic. This brother, the things that he will say and the way that he says them and the way that he breaks them down, Lord have mercy. Molly, that's on another level. You understand? But if it's NBC and the little kids out there are watching and, you know, he wants to mind his manners about every little syllable he utters, he'll be all right. But that brother ain't used to being all right. He used to being great. And I'm telling you, as somebody who has spoken to him about basketball on many, many, many occasions over the years, over the decades, obviously he knows what the hell he's talking about, okay? And he don't mince words.
Hey, just as an NBA fan,
I don't agree with him. My expectations would be very low. He hasn't killed it and everything. His ownership of the Hornets, dud. His time here in Washington.
It wasn't a dud financially.
No, but he's just, he's talking about his relationship, talking about basketball.
And I feel like he's going to be like when Joe Montana was on TV.
Maybe.
Everybody kind of grilled
him. That'll be a big dud. If he's not, and he actually can voice his opinion on players, coaches, ownership, teams, cities, tell stories, that would force me to watch.
Right. Yes. Some of the best guys on TV talking basketball. Charles Barkley I love Charles Barkley. Okay. But some of the best guys are guys that barely were in the league. Or it's an exaggeration, they barely in the league. But Tim Legler is one of the best. Mm-hmm. Kendrick Perkins right now is really good. You don't have to be some superstar. You have to have a persona and charisma.
They're playing on his name, obviously, the cachet of having Michael Jordan at the desk. Now, I don't know how often he's going to be there. I mean, the guy's a billionaire. Like, he's not gonna do the daily grind. Like, and he deserves to do this. He'll pick his spots, and he'll basically tell NBC, "I'm available to work here, here, and here." And look, he's gonna call his shots, as he should. He's Michael freaking Jordan.
But do you think NBC is going to say, Michael, we're paying you a lot of money?
Yeah.
All right, first of all, it's an 11-year, $76 billion deal they have with the NBA. Mm-hmm. All right.
What are they paying Michael? We have no idea.
No, what I'm asking is, does NBC say, Michael, no holds barred?
They should.
Voice your opinion.
If they want great content,
say whatever you want to say. Talk about the players and the teams and tell stories about your days in the league. Don't hold back. Or are they going to say, be muted? We got kids, like he's saying, like we got kids watching. You can't be, you know, 100%.
I don't think he's
obvious.
Gonna be. I don't think he's gonna be vulgar, right?
No,
but aren't you curious about his stories on the road, relationship with teammates and other players?
100%.
So they want him though to like ideally what Stephen A. Smith wants, and I think what the networks would want, which I find probably highly doubtful, is they want Jordan to come in and say, LeBron's not that good. He wouldn't be that good in my era.
Correct.
He's not going to throw bombs like that.
I know, but that's why I would watch. If he's not going to throw bombs and he's going to be muted like Montana and be dull, I ain't watching.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a genius move by NBC. Because all anyone does is talk about how this era of the NBA sucks.
Yeah.
And how it's not like what it used to be. Well, bring in all that nostalgia. It's a genius idea by NBC. Kudos.
Well, as long as he keeps the viewers, if he's the ratings for his first appearance will be skyrocket. But if he sucks and he's boring,
because he doesn't really do a lot, does he?
He hasn't been with the media since for 20 years.
I mean, the documentary.
I mean, the documentary that he had participated in, which was cool, and the whole world watched because nothing was on TV.
Yeah.
But you don't think he was open and honest during that? He doesn't have to be that type of person, but
well, I thought I mean, so.
Even if he's half of what he was during the documentary, it'd be great.
Did you see the viral clips? I think it was recently where they went around and they asked all these old legends, you know, because the difference in the game today and when Jordan played, like what would Jordan average today? And they, like, almost to a man said he would average 45 to 50 because this is the way the league is different and less physical. And
I mean, he averaged 37 in a game when it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would... Yeah,
like, I'd all the legends were
saying.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like a big stretch for him to get up to 45 or 50.
Yeah.
Probably not.
They were like, it's a given. He would have dominated in today's league. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, I'm always curious to see MJ. You know, I just wonder, there's so much that's out there, like, did you, you're sort of speculating on, like, what role? How often? You know, is he going to be just, like, sitting in a casual conversation? Or is he going to be at the desk? Is he going to be, you know, in the scene of, you know, at halftime of the game? Like, where, I don't understand it. The whole thing, well, I don't understand.
I know, we're going to have to find out. It is a big story, though. Anytime Michael's in the news, it's a big story.
I always remember when Michael made the announcement that he was going to join the Wizards. I believe we did a show. I could be wrong location. I think it was Hard Times. Mm-hmm. I just remember there were pool tables. Were the pool tables a Hard Times kind
of
thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Possibly.
And Jason was so convinced. This was when he was just going to be an executive.
Mm-hmm.
That he was going to be the best executive. He was going to find the best players. Who wouldn't want to play for Michael Jordan?
You got to find the audio then.
And then he drafted Kwame Brown.
Oh, Valdez will get on it. He'll spend his whole weekend searching for it.
You don't remember that? You thought he was, you were like, he's going to be the best town evaluator.
I know, of course. I thought his playing days would translate to his management days, but I clearly was wrong.
I just remember that when we announced it and we focused on it, we were on Westwood One at the time. So we were nationally syndicated and we were on in like Oakland, Detroit, you know, Kansas City, Tampa, you name it. Houston complained that we weren't talking about the Astros.
Right.
When we're talking about Michael Jordan returning
to
play.
I mean,
you know,
think about how big of a story that was.
So not only was it a massive national story, it was obviously a massive local story where we were based. And they were pissed.
Yeah.
And then, of course, New York was pissed that we weren't talking about freaking Bobby Bonilla. God, that made me... I honestly...
It was very annoying.
I hated that whole national syndication bit. I like the ego to say, yeah, we're nationally syndicated.
I hated
all the other parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sucked.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into the Commanders. There's a big name out there, a pass rusher, who is at an impasse with his current team. He plays in the AFC North. He wasn't traded on... draft day. Could he be traded because he can't reach a long-term deal with the Bengals? We'll get into the Trey Hendrickson saga and how it relates to the Commanders next here on The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.